Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's that time of the week again, the Rugby League rant, fifth and last. Put on your headgear, chuck in your mouthguard, and get ready for an hour of nothing of the NRL tour. And then there was four remaining, and I don't think it's any surprise that it is the top four.
Yeah, top four survive, as per usual, really, isn't it? We've seen some of those bottom teams go on a run occasionally, but we always say it, it's so important to be top four, and there's another year gone by where, you know, the top four are the ones that'll fight out the preliminary finals.
Yep, and as always, like we said, it takes a little bit out of those teams to get back to this point, which is always the upside, obviously, of that prelim. But the Penrith Panthers confirmed, now playing the Melbourne Storm for the third time this year. Fairly dominant the two times they've played them previously. That'll be Friday night at Acor. And Saturday, the Broncos up against the Warriors, who came out and exploded at home on the weekend against the Newcastle Knights. So for them, I'm not sure what their week looks like, but I'm assuming they'll do what they did the other week. Private plane, get over a couple of days early, settle in and make sure they have the best possible preparation to try and go attack at Suncorp, but I actually think they'll get pretty good support up there.
Yeah, they will. They always do. The two places, like Southeast Queensland, they a lot of expat Kiwis, and they just,
yeah, much like Melbourne though. There's two places they get really good support. They're probably the two spots that you see them push a good crowd in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think
which will be good. It'll be good for the game. It's going to make for a brilliant atmosphere. I hope Acor they can push 40-50. We're going to head along to Acor, take the little fella. He's a mad Panthers man. You're obviously a Melbourne man. So
Without being
it'll be great.
Negative, I think.
Well, it's a game. The game's got to be played.
Yeah, it's got to be played.
Everyone will assume that Penrith are going to win. And, you know, what are they in the odds? $1.20, less than $1.20?
The odds started, I think, the first look, I had $1.25, $4.10. It blew out almost $5 instantly.
And look, the reason they play the games is because not every $1.20 horse wins.
Yeah, you know, understand.
And that is what it is. I think Melbourne have actually, they've started both games against Penrith quite well. They've cycled, and I think they understand how to upset Penrith. Whether they can actually do it is a different thing, and whether they can execute it for a long period of time and get Penrith off their game is another thing. But, you know, I think Penrith are probably a step below certainly where they were last year. They've got their own injury concerns. Melbourne have got injury concerns as well. But that's this time of the year. Everyone's got some sort of injury. You could go through, you know, all four teams have got injury concerns. So
I think Penrith, though, this year have just leaned more and more as they've lost quality into that defensive side of things. We've just seen a massive hit.
We're watching them. We've got the Queensland Cup Grand Final on as well.
Yeah, I just think, like I said, historical defence this year, and got to give some credence to that. The more quality that's gone out of that team, they've just further and further embodied themselves in what they do on that side of the ball. And I don't want to sound too harsh on it for the Melbourne and the Roosters side, but I looked at that side of the draw for Penrith and thought, whoever comes through, to me, it's just fodder, because I don't think they've really fired a shot yet.
Yeah.
I think they're waiting for this week.
Yeah, see, I don't. I think,
Melbourne fan or not, I honestly think we're going to get absolutely fucking jacked this week, if I'm being honest.
But yeah, let's see what happens.
Only my opinion. I hope for a good showing. But yeah, as far as this week goes, like we said in previous weeks, just because of work and footing, a few things that have been going on, we'll go back to hopefully finishing out the year how we did last year, where we'll record on Sunday and review the games and do the season reviews, and then we'll pop back up during the week, do our preview tips, etc., and have a look at the games and do another podcast. So,
yeah.
And any general news, there's obviously been a little bit, probably didn't talk about last week because we're focusing on the footy, but for tonight, thanks to bluebet.com.au. If you're going to have a bet with anyone, do it with a true blue bookie. Download the app today or visit the website. Let's review the two games from the weekend. In the first one, you mentioned the Storm, 18-13. Over the Roosters, this honestly at times to me looked like two drunks fighting over the last sip out of the bottle. It was very clunky, it was ugly, the attack was quite poor, but they certainly threw a fair bit in the physical stakes at one another, but it wasn't a pretty game of football by any means.
It wasn't, but I mean, looking at the lists and looking at the changes and looking at, how the game was going to be played, it always sort of, it read like that. You almost expected that. So there wasn't a lot in the game that I didn't expect. I know when we were speaking about the odds on in our preview last week, like for the Roosters to be, you know, they were nearly $4 at one point.
Yeah, well, it was harsh.
It was crazy odds. And it's probably a game the Roosters should have won. I felt like the Roosters dominated the game for a longer period than Melbourne. But, yeah, Melbourne got the chocolates.
This is what I had written here. I think Melbourne, the first 20 was all them, and they couldn't capitalise enough.
Agree, yeah.
Thought they wasted
opportunities.
The one try they did get was pretty simple. Wishart literally pulls up with their line was sort of fractured. I think it was Keary passed the ball. Cheese just watched him. He dummied and got in that space. Good effort by him. I thought he actually played well considering the situation he was thrown into.
Tyron Wishart.
Yeah.
He was almost best on field for Melbourne. I think Meaney was probably best on field and Wishart was probably second best.
He was awesome. His goal kicking was horrible.
Yeah, I get that.
But him and those two, I agree with you, were probably the best two players. Mm. I still think...
For Melbourne, yeah.
I think I saw a rating or someone had Munster as like an 8.5 or a 9. I thought he was ordinary.
Thought he tried hard. His involvements were certainly up. You can see that he's trying to get himself involved, but yeah, there's... missing Jerome Hughes and putting a lot of responsibility of the kicking game onto Munster was
I get that. And some people called as to why they didn't have Pezzett. Well, I think, you know, that situation coming off the back of an injury, I think he's only played the last week or two in Q Cup. They're probably looking to not go down that road of having someone again who's fresh off an injury.
Mm.
So they went with Wishy. Wishy's done pretty good job, whatever role he was asked. He did a very good job the other week playing half against Brisbane. I understand that wasn't a full strength team, but clearly they looked at that and thought, well, he can do the job. We'll put it on Munster and Harry here and our forwards to get the job done for us.
Yeah.
They obviously recalled Ollum, Remus. They were okay without being outstanding. I think they did their job. But yeah, in that first 20 that you're talking about, missed goal. Remus had a no try. There was a lot of opportunity down there and it sort of felt like for all the ball, territory, possession, they didn't do enough with it. And on the flip of that, a couple of errors from King invited the Roosters. I thought Melbourne on their goal line were pretty good, but similar deal with the Roosters. Like, they're one of the worst attacking teams in the comp this year, and that was still sort of the case. It was very clunky. A few times they sort of just shifted sideline to sideline without any sort of forward motion. Things started to happen when they got second phase and tried to break Melbourne down a bit, and they ended up doubling the amount of offloads Melbourne got. I think it was like 16-8. And as the game went on, you sort of saw some things coming off that from Radley. Terrell May, who had a really good game, and a few of those boys just breaking him down a bit. Teddy trying to bounce off that. But, yeah, I think between these two, I think the Roosters should have won. I honestly don't think Melbourne deserved to win. The last play is a pretty cruel way for it to end.
It was, yeah.
I know everyone's still going on about the Klein call. It was shit. How he didn't get that, I have no idea. But I also think in general, which is the thing that annoys you during the year, you just see these patches of the way games are officiated. I thought there was three or four moments where you would have seen penalties during the year, even sin bins that you didn't get in this game either. So very frustrating all around. But I can understand. But I've got to say, Trent Robertson was all class in the press conference.
Yeah, he was.
And he essentially said exactly what I'm thinking on the flip.
You're not solving it there.
Nah. He said, look, it was a bad moment. Yeah, it was a blunder. Did he muck it up? He's like, but we should have defended that. We shouldn't have given away a penalty. We shouldn't have, you know, considered that last try. There was multiple moments there that we, you know.
And I think that's a good way to attack it. You just think about the things that you can control.
And, yeah, for both of them, that's why I sort of look at that game again in the end and trying to steal it or finish things off and thought that the Roosters probably were the better side, but on either, I honestly
think... Yeah, I'm not saying that. I thought they were probably more dominant, but they didn't have a lot to show for it.
No, huge rap late for Sandon Smith. He made a great impact on the game. Had a quick run, then he jumped out and saw that Nas and King were a bit lazy, just one-on-one Nelson... Put Radley through, then the pass to follow up for Lindsay Collins, who had another great game. Just in the cover moments and chases and that. So he was big. I also thought that was probably one of the better games of May's career. He's really built into first grade the back end of this year and the minutes they've given him.
Yeah, I thought Sam Walker was good as well.
I thought he was okay. I thought the standouts were probably Radley, Collins and May. I thought Radley, back end of the year, got back to what he should be doing. Start of the year was pretty frustrating, ball playing, doing a lot of things that... He's just good when he's aggressive and runs.
Yeah.
Run first and good things happen for him.
Yeah,
agree. As a Melbourne fan, I was also frustrated at the back end. Like, Liera, I know that was an awkward one on his leg from Wong, but that's not a hip drop. Like, I don't agree with that. And then when Harry laid down, I was even more frustrated swearing at the TV. I know the replay again during the year is probably a penalty, but the fact I was sort of looking to win that way is more the reason I'm sitting there going,
well. So I thought Wong was probably a hip drop.
No, I... think there's been a lot more blatant ones than that. I think that was sort of a slide down. And it was
But again, you're comparing.
It was his upper body.
I and I thought, yeah, he lost his legs on purpose and dropped down on the back of his legs. But yeah, player.
Mm.
It's gone out of the game. Like, we tried to hammer it for a while. And then...
Yeah, well, same as the head eyes. That that hit on Harry or a lot of the ones during the game, there was a couple that probably would have been a bin during the year.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him missing that one. Like, that, it wasn't probably until I saw the replay, I went, oh, okay, hello.
Yeah.
You know, he did.
But it's sort of frustrating. Like, people have to go, oh, it might be karma for that, the try in there. And I'm like, I don't agree with that.
I don't think so.
Because the Harry moment in the early of the game, like, where was the equaliser for the Roosters on that?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get karma on that. There was a penalty from Cheese, which was just stupid. And then they flipped the field and went and scored the other end. And Harry played a big part in that.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any justice in that regard. But yeah, I honestly think either of these two was literally walking into a buzzsaw. And we won't know until this week, but... For the way that the Roosters started the season to get where they did, I think they've overachieved again. Is it what we envisioned before the season started? No, but knowing what's happened now, injuries...
From the position that they landed in that bottom of the eight, they overachieved.
And the way things have played out, like, if they would have got to a prelim, I would have said they've massively overachieved. But I think they've certainly hit the mark, given what's happened this season.
Well, yeah, people who were doing pre-season predictions would say they underachieve.
Yeah.
Once you watch them play and saw how they started and the position they were in, yeah, definitely they overachieved.
Mm. But full credit to them. They were certainly brave, but Warbrick, I'll give him all the flowers in that moment. There was a lot like, oh, Munster's kicked on apart. That's Warbrick. Yeah. Warbrick goes up. Warbrick double hands that, doesn't lose it, snatches it away.
I'm surprised they don't do that more often, especially now Coates is out. Like, make him a little bit more of an aerial target.
I think a lot of the time now it's just harder to do it because of the way the game is and, you know, the old escort. But that was one of those moments where they got him a bit flat out there and it was just purely a one-on-one.
Yeah, but I thought, like, without Hughes being there, I thought Melbourne would be left-centric, which means they get tackled on the left-hand side of the field, which
would kick right,
make it easier for him to kick the Warbrick.
But it just didn't
play out that way.
A lot of question marks heading into next week. They're saying Hughes will probably be available, but to go in with him under a cloud, I think Bellamy basically said it's unlikely that Coates will play. So it'll likely be a similar back line again. Other health concerns out of that, I don't think anyone else really pulled up with too much issue. But yeah, I guess the forward pack again wasn't exactly that dominant, and that's my biggest worry next week.
That's my worry.
That sort of speed and the way they play, the way Penrith come through the middle, I think they'll just absolutely eat Melbourne up, put holes through them.
We'll see.
But prelim up here, we'll see how that one goes. But full credit to the Roosters, as we said. Great back end and way they finish things off, but finished their season in week two. In the other game, 40-10, the Knights and the Warriors. The error straight away by Marju and then the try there, you sort of felt that, the crowd, the noise, and last week almost a fait accompli once they pulled Johnson and sort of did what they wanted to do, that they were going to go home and deliver, and they certainly did.
Yeah, the start killed Newcastle. They just got jumped.
They got jumped.
Mind you, then I thought they got back into it to a degree.
They had a really right good half time, but 20, and then they scored the first try to get to 16-10. You thought, hold on.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, they've got something in the tank, because they looked tired as well to start with. They did look a bit flatter than what the Warriors
did. We spoke about that in the preview, like going from a Sunday Golden Point game.
New Zealand.
Having to then travel across New Zealand.
90 minutes.
On the shorter turnaround, like, it was always going to have an impact. So
yeah.
We highlighted that in the preview, like, possession and discipline is going to have to be in their favour, and it wasn't.
Yeah, and the other thing was points and just the style with Johnson in there, and Johnson was just able to dictate.
A different beast, first home game. There's a lot of things that were in New Zealand's favour, that's for sure. But,
yeah,
you know, the way to wipe that out is to be disciplined and play boring footy and put the ball in the corners.
Mm.
But they just couldn't do that, particularly to start the game. And that crowd got amped up, the Warriors became confident, and you can't concede 40 points in a finals game, right? Next to no chance. So.
Nah, and I think
that was partly discipline. It was partly just they got gassed.
Yeah,
and you know, Adam O'Brien said in the presser, you know, they lost players. They had players busted, which is, you know, everyone's got players busted. But yeah, I think I said to Dad was here. We had a barbie last night. I said to him, like, I think they'd be wrapped with their season, but they'd be really disappointed in that performance.
Yeah, considering over there and 10 in a row, and what they've delivered. Yeah. Yep. But I sort of thought similar to what we said in the preview. I thought last week they really emptied the gun to get that one over the line, and then to think of the travel and what we talked about heading over there. Wouldn't say again fait accompli, but I didn't have a lot of confidence unless Johnson was out.
Yeah.
You thought for them, like, the Warriors sort of did what they needed to do last week, got through, and if Johnson was on board, and that certainly proved to be the case, they just unleashed.
Yeah.
I guess for them.
I was surprised, actually, they didn't get Johnson off earlier.
I could not believe, and there was that moment after they scored that try to get it to 24 where he had like two or three players hurt. Tohu reeled away with the sternum. Egan ends up on the ground. There was like two or three key players in like literally a minute after that. And Casey was watching with me and saying, what are you going on about? And I was just like, well, they've just gone out from 18 to 24. He waited like 10 minutes. As soon as they got that try, I didn't care if he got two subs left. And then he had Adden stand back up to go back on him. I would not be putting him back on the field.
Yeah.
The first ones I would have used to get off were Johnson, Egan, because he already looked like he had a head knock, as my two changes. And Adden certainly wouldn't have been one of the ones I rolled back.
Yeah, I thought Egan had a head knock earlier as well.
Yeah, and Tohu was the other one who was out there who had a chest, and they've talked about his knee through the finals. Like, even if I had to play with 12 with a 24-point lead, I would have pulled him.
Yeah, and I didn't look that deep. I just thought Johnson, you know, the concern is the calf. You can't win without him.
Yeah, well, then he didn't run all game, and that was the other thing.
It's not a criticism. I was surprised that it took 7 minutes to go for him to come off.
So. He started skipping and hopping with about 12 to go in a moment there, and I was like, you haven't run all night. You've just done your bit and piece. Like, now's not the time to start messing around with your calf either. Like, the crowd certainly went wild when he came off too.
Yeah.
But you see the difference with him in there straight away, that link between him and Egan in particular and the way they worked with Tohu.
Yeah.
Attack was crisp. They were fast. I actually think, and I don't know if you'd agree with me or it's a hard thing, we always say it's hard to tack inside the 10 just because of time and space and execution. I think they're one of the best at attacking inside the 10 off the try line.
The Warriors, yeah.
Like their connection
They play a lot of footy from the post, like from the middle of the field, where a lot of teams want to play from the fast scrum line, which, you know, allows defences to squeeze and basically allows you more time to make an error. But the Warriors like to, play with those big middles through the middle of the field at the posts, then have shape out the back of it. And they use that double lead where they run the back row in the centre.
Yeah.
Through on, like, the three-man in the defence. And, you know, with the fullback swinging out the back of it, it basically means the centre's got to check that outside player. And it creates a two-on-one more often than not on the outside. And they run it in that swing shape where they all tuck like they're on an athletics track.
Yeah.
Sort of running around. The next minute,
it just sort of unfolds and they always seem
like naturally, like when you're defending that tuck shape, you look up and you think, geez, they're really tight. Like I need to tighten my inside man.
Bang.
They accordion out as the passes come and the play sort of unfolds. So it's really, 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 really good coaching, and they run it better than most teams, and they've got a few different flavours that they like to throw on it. But yeah, I think the big difference with them is they make it easier because A, they've got such damaging middles who can score. Like you saw with Adden, you can just pass to him and he can go left foot and score.
And that's the one I'm talking about.
The other one is Tohu can do that as well.
That was
and
legit.
And then you've got the threat of them being able to play out the back of it.
Yeah, that was legit. On the try line, Johnson flat and fast, digs in, holds up that middle. But I'm like, most teams struggle from inside the 10. They go 10 metres backwards, two pass, get stuck in a corner, kill a player, then have to play off like a tram line. Like,
well, a lot of the reason teams struggle is because they have a lot of setup players.
Whereas for them,
teams
like
do that and slow it down, which means they can pressure the shift.
But
the Warriors, just they're almost playing on every play, and we spoke about that early in the year, just with their style, and yeah, they know what works for them.
But yeah, they carved them up. Nicol Klugstad had an outstanding year. He was huge in this game again. Johnson was given all the time in the world to play. I didn't think they pressured him at all, really. And that's probably a sign of last week's game. Little things like inside pressure or tying in or coming up with a bit of line speed, he was literally untouched and basically didn't get tackled with the footy. But you could instantly see the difference in their attack with him and Egan, who's another one this year I've looked at and thought, you've just gone to another level completely.
Yeah.
And the quality of what he delivers. Fenua Blake's footwork for that size is just unfair. To slide through that, score the way he did. Tohu, I thought, if Johnson and Charnes weren't the best on the ground, he was pretty bloody close as well.
Yeah,
had some huge contributions from those guys. But out of that period that you talked about, they get back 16-10. The first time they sort of execute to the left, they really struggled to set up and play right, which is where I thought they would have wanted to go. A lot of teams have gone at the Warriors' left-hand edge. But they got Greg in the corner. They come out early. Klune digs in, gets the inside of Tohu, and a lot of people thought that was forward. When they had that flat replay, I had no problem with that pass to Lucas. I thought it was a try. But 16-10, straight away off the back of that, though, critical error. I think Mann gets called offside instead of making the tackle and copping a six again. He lets Tohu run 20. They get punched, and then Dylan Walker comes straight back at him on the post. He's just standing on the line with no grasp on him. And he also gets concussed in that play. So there's two critical errors there, which took it back to 12. And from there, they just rinsed and repeat. I loved the fact that they attacked so well, but the discipline, they just cage kicked him into that same corner. They pinned Greg inside that 10-metre box, bashed him, three plays. They were barely making it to the 20. They got caught for repeats, a couple of errors. Like, they just literally choked him out until they gave up. And when they finally made a couple of errors or gave him that possession, the Warriors finished him off. Johnson ran that fan shape like you were talking about. Dallin got his try. They obviously finished off Sirin, and when they finally pulled a couple of players with the dummy from, you know, dummy half and goes at the post, and it just blew out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they certainly come in with a plan to stop the back five, particularly the two wingers. They did a great job on Marju and Young. They got no momentum going, and thought the only time they sort of looked a little bit damaging on the move was for Frizzell. I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah,
he punched some holes in the right, but full credit to them as well, defending Ponga. They didn't let things unfold. They pushed their chips in all in. And Newcastle needed to adjust. They didn't adjust their depth. They didn't kick. They didn't do sort of anything to try and beat that shape. They got pressured in knock-ons, hit with a ball, ball knocked down. Like, New Zealand were pretty much in sync with the way they defended both sides of the field.
Yeah.
And
but that comes from being fresh as well.
Mm.
Not having a lot of fatigue makes defence a lot easier.
But some question marks, probably the big thing. Curran popped that finger. Egan, like we said, went down with two knocks. They tried to play it off like it was a shoulder or an arm. Whether he's in the protocol, I don't know. Tohu late grabbed his chest, went off. Johnson looked good, but hopefully for them, you know, we know what a calf can be like during the week. I'm assuming he's going to have a very light week. But yeah, they had a few at the end there that might have been a concern. But oh yeah, I think they're a great matchup for Brisbane if they're healthy.
Oh, that's, yeah, that looks the game, doesn't it?
They can go with them in terms of their middles. And yeah, I think the way their back five is, and they can also score points. I've heard some people, particularly the Warriors fans, critical the way they attack. I think the Warriors are a very good attacking team.
They are.
They talk about, like, it's very bland and simple what they do. I think they sequence and, like you talk about, have plays for each play and don't waste. They sequence very well. They don't go two setups and we'll have one shot here. They usually squeeze in two or three shots a set. But yeah, but based on health and matchup, I think it's a really good one. So I'm looking forward to it. But the Warriors march on, and like we said, top four are all through. Just the reverse role.
Yeah.
So interesting to see. And the odds we'll talk about a little bit after, but let's review the season for the two teams that were eliminated thanks to the Penrith Solar Centre, 1800 20 29 30, or visit penrithsolar.com.au. Jake and the team there, let them help you and your family save some money this summer and put some cash back into your back pocket. We'll do the Roosters first. They were 7th when they found their way in the finals, 13-11 record. They were 15th in attack, 6th in defence, which really was the cornerstone of that run at the back. They used 29 players. Their away record was 5-7. This was another year where it just felt like nothing went right. Health has been a huge thing the last few years. They started undermanned, and they had another one of those sort of patches throughout the year where it just never felt like they could get their best team on the field.
Mm.
And even at the back end, when they patched together and sort of found a bit of form, building around that, Brandon Smith, poor form. Angus Crichton in the off-season there, and him not being ready to go.
Sam Walker,
mid-season drop, then gets injured, and the talk around him and the halves and what was happening there. Jared was on the outer. They signed Lenu, then they keep Jared. The Suwali situation, it was all good, then it wasn't. Then Tedesco signed an extension. There was, for the first time since that sort of Pierce year where they had the drama, there was a lot of noise around the Roosters.
Yeah, there was.
Once things quietened up and they tightened the ship up mid-year, I think Robinson, like I said again, addressed a lot of things last night that they still never really got to where they wanted to, but they felt they just kept chipping away, and the best version of themselves really started to come at the end. But that toughness and the heart and the really become the cornerstone, their defence and the back end, that run they put together.
Yeah. The Cowboys also fell away. Like, a few teams had to fall away for them to even get in. So
That 6 year last seven is a very good effort. Similar last year, I think they won 8 in a row or 7 in a row.
They did, yeah. So it's a very good effort. First week, so. Yeah, considering the conditions that they've had the last 2 years, I think they've overachieved to make the finals. So
yeah,
but from that perspective, they deserve, you know, a high praise. But it's.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Certainly not where people predicted them to finish.
No, definitely not.
But I mean, they would have taken that all night. Like, to be ahead by a point with, you know, seven to go in Melbourne in week two of the finals. If you said that to Robinson 6 weeks ago, he would have signed that check every day of the week. So,
well, they were 3-1 in ugly fashion. They beat the Warriors, the Eels, South, and you sort of looked after the Dolphins lost and go, okay, they're building. Mm. But then it really went backwards. They went 3-3, 5-3, they stammered. And then they had a bad period during the middle of the year where they got hammered a couple of times during Origin. They had injuries on top of that. They went 2-5. And then that Eagles game where we went 18-16, we thought it's all over. Yeah. And after that, the only loss was the Brisbane loss, where they managed, like I said, to go 6 of their last 7 and found a way in. And yeah, there was different iterations of the halves. We had Manu when Walker went out. Tedesco, they had shuffled their back line. The forwards set up. Hutchison played some games as well. Back end of the year, though, it really was their defense. That was more the Roosters old school, like the Sharks game. You sort of looked at that and thought, goal line, they're going to crack, surely they're gas, but everything was just based off their defense at the end. And even Melbourne the other night, I thought they absorbed and had a lot of try saves and a lot of good moments, but the attack being 15th is a concern, because with the weapons they've got, they should certainly do better on that side.
Yeah, I think that speaks to cohesion.
But there's certainly going to be
changes.
A changing of the guard here. Like, next year is going to be the last year for a lot of guys who you thought might have gone this year. So Tupou and Jared look like they were gone. They've got one more year. Keary's off next year. There's talk about Crichton going to Union. He's off. Manu's last year. I'm sure they're going to be able to shift some money between him, Terrell Mayer. They'll prioritise a few of those guys with those other names I've just mentioned. Len Yu and Dom Young are coming. So a bit of fresh blood definitely needed with some leg speed in that middle.
Yeah, that's certainly
that's a huge concern. Back end of the year, some good finds for them, I guess, in Siwa Wong, once he finally got a run. Sandon showed that he can do multiple jobs and had a good impact. I think they might have had a really good value pickup in Piaga as well.
Yeah, he's like, been competent.
He's done a hell of a job, and they're the sort of guys you want to keep around. Billy Smith went healthy by that jaw. He's off right now. I have no doubt they'll sort a deal out. There's no way they're going to let him go.
Yeah, he's been very good.
He finally showed what they're looking for, and then Sam on response to that.
Yeah, meeting. But I don't think he like, finally showed. Well, it's more
he finally got to show it.
That's
there.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not, they knew it was there.
Bit of consistency in around being on the field.
You can tell they knew it was there because they could have quit years ago.
Yeah.
They've held onto him for almost 4 years waiting to give him the time to play that well. And once he got healthy and had a good streak, look what he put on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
So there were some positives out of it, but I still think there's going to be more movement in what they do with their forward pack. There needs to be probably a bit more turnover there. Like, can Satilli stay healthy? He didn't start the year, then had a bad year. Jared had a couple of in-outs. Tupou missed a lot of football. Manu missed football. Watson missed the whole year. He's off contract. There's a lot of guys, again, that didn't play a lot of footy or were inconsistent.
Yeah.
Radley had injury suspension. Back end, when he was back to his best and cleaned that up, he was great. So there's a lot of little spot fires, I think, for them to put out. But I think we'll see a real big changing in the guard, not just starting next year, but the year after, the moves they make for 25. There's a real rollover coming here at the Roosters.
Yeah.
They're flagged teams in the grand final. There's a few guys in there. They've got wraps on. They've got the flagged player of the year, back rower, Max McCathy. But yeah, I think their two big priorities, when I mentioned all those off contracts, will be locking up Wong and Manu.
Yeah.
You think, like I said, Jared, Keary, most of those guys, this might be...
Wong's, definitely a player of the future.
But yeah, he's probably the big one. They really have big hopes for Robert Toyer as well, but he busted his ACL this week.
Mm.
Otherwise, he might have debuted. But he started the year injured, got 6 or 8 weeks and got injured again. So it's been a cruel run in that regard. I'm also interested to see what happens with Suwali. Obviously, that sort of settled down mid-year. He played some really good football. I don't know whether they would go to market. Like, what are you going to get now? I thought earlier in the year with all the talk that they might have got to a point where they tried to move him on and spend that money, but it didn't eventuate. And I think for where they are now roster-wise, they'll probably hold on to him.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I guess your only question with that is Dom Young is obviously coming. He's got to play.
Yeah.
So between him, Tupou, Manu, Billy Smith, that doesn't all fit into one back line. Someone's going to have to miss out. They didn't buy Dom Young to drop him into New South Wales.
You're also going to have depth. So
maybe Suwali ends up a little bit on the outer there. And I think the other one is the your big buy was Chiefs. His form was pretty ordinary to start the year.
He showed I sort of half expected that with
change and
such a different approach.
Well, back end, let's be honest, he played more like he did at Melbourne.
He did.
And yeah, that's probably what like works
they
for
adapted
him.
To his style a little bit as well.
And I guess the other thing is the 80 minutes. I think that sort of 60-minute mark sort of perfect for the way he plays, and Sander made a good impact in that role.
Yeah.
But even him, like his future's not playing as bench nine. Sander Smith in the juniors was a half and a fullback. That's the fullback's not going to be there for him for the next few years. What their thoughts are around him as a half, they gave him some time there, but that was when they were playing poor. So it's probably not the best idea of what he can give them you as a half. So like we said, there's probably a lot of spot fires and things to eke out there if you're the Roosters, but I thought he summed it up very well last night. We never quite got to where we wanted to, but they were, you know, moments away from getting the week through, given all that went wrong, which speaks to the quality of the Roosters.
Yeah.
And I know people would be saying, what the fuck are you talking about? They had a dreadful year, but not many clubs could get to the point they did, dealing with what they did health-wise, off-the-field-wise, and the noise around that club.
Yeah.
So, moving on. From the Chooks, the Knights finished 5th. 14 wins, draw 9 losses, attack 4th, defence 4th, used 30 players. Their away record was 5-6. They were 2-2 with a draw. You know, then they beat New Zealand, lost to Penrith by a field goal, Cowboys by 2 points, and you sort of looked in that middle period and thought they've been pretty tough. They've been hard out, better than what I sort of expected. And then they went on and off, win, loss, and then hit a rough patch there. There was 3 in a row. Penrith beat them, they had a couple of blowouts, and that mid-year point where Ponga had been concussed a few times and there was talk about him not playing again. They lost Brayley again early, had to adjust that side of things. And then the talk was around O'Brien, Frizzell, the Safidis possibly leaving, Best possibly leaving. Everything was looking bad. And then post-Origin, Bradman Best comes back from Bali. They destroy the Dogs by 60 points. He plays Origin. Safidi, hair catches fire. Frizzell starts playing his best football. Crossland slots in seamlessly and Ponga's return to one sort of unlocks everything. Yeah. Their back five was excellent. Leo Thompson, Croker, Elliott, all the sort of guys that were there start stepping up in the forward pack, the Safidi brothers as well. It all just clicks. And that procession of being able to get going from the backfield, open things up with your middles, have Hastings and Gamble simplify things and just dictate and control and kick and let Ponga be your swing player to both edges, which they got quality.
Yeah, they just played to their strengths.
Mm.
And their middles went forward, and they were their discipline was far better.
Mm. So you look at where they got to and where they started, it was a massive turnaround. Huge turnaround. And on that run, like some people again said, oh, they didn't have to beat anyone. Well, I wouldn't say beating Storm, Sharks, South, Raiders is nobody. They had to beat teams ahead of them to get to the position they were in.
They did an extremely good job to put themselves in that position because they were certainly behind the eight ball.
Well, they were 5 wins, talking about firing their coach. And cleaning out half their roster. It's a big difference when you're sitting there going, Best is gone, Safidi's gone, Ponga might be gone, and you know, you're going to fire a coach, to having all those guys pretty much re-sign, stay, and then finding a couple of gems like you did in Crossland and the value they got out of him. And that's going to be excellent for next year because, let's face it, Brayley hasn't been able to stay healthy and he's still got 2 years to run. They're going to need that.
Yeah.
With what's leaving and what's there, I think they've got a really good base to build off. What's going out or what's off contract, Dane, as we know, who's probably going to move on. New Brown was a late inclusion. Clune's going to England, but they got Cogger coming, so they've sort of got to swap for a good half option. Bailey Hodgson hasn't played first grade, hasn't been healthy. Heimel Hunt didn't play all year, he'll be gone. And the two Joneses, Joneses, Brody and Brody Jones, Kurt Mann to the Dogs, I don't think they're losing anything that they can't replace.
Yeah.
And you're bringing in two guys who I haven't seen a lot of, but have huge potential in Will Price and Kai Paul-Pierce. So I think that brings a bit of excitement along with Cogger. How they use Price, I don't know. He's been more of a one over there. They've obviously got Ponga and their halves are pretty sorted.
Yeah.
So they're his two best spots. Paul Pierce is a back rower. So I'm assuming learning-wise, he'll get a crack at the Fitzgibbon vacant spot.
You'd think so.
I haven't seen, again, a lot of the Super League this year, but they're two guys that are there for 2 years and you'll see what happens with them. But they locked up Frizz. There's an option there. They got Marju. Dylan Lucas looks like a good player. He's also in the mix for centre and back row.
Yeah,
so
I really like Dylan Lucas.
When you look at that and then look at the kids they got pushing through, like Oren Keeley, Jones, they debuted late. Armstrong in the backup and cut was excellent at the back end of the year. And Miles Martin, New South Wales, 19th forward. The cap space they freed up from Miller, moving on is going to put them in a spot where they've got Best and a few guys coming off who need upgrades. They're probably about to chop up that $500,000-$600,000 and top up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to be where they were, as he said, that his head was on the chopping block and people were hunting for him, to this just, oh, I'd really like to know what the turning point was. Like, is it the Ponga moment where he comes back and just
everything? Yeah, I think it's probably, it looked, to me, it looked like Ponga coming back, playing good footy, and Bradman Best bringing some confidence back.
Mm.
And maybe a little bit of pressure went off, just in that, you know, everyone's writing us off. Let's just go and find our style and play our footy. Maybe things got a little bit looser.
Mm. But they're saying now Brian's going to get a 2-year extension on top of what he's got. So he has next year's his last year.
So we get 3 years.
Next year's already locked in. 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. So he's got 3 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll become the longest serving coach for Newcastle if he sees that out.
Yeah, there you go.
So big turnaround.
Yeah, I heard the other day they were saying there was only been one coach that's coached more than Michael Hayden. Games. Yeah.
He's the only one.
It's crazy.
So you'd think, you would have thought longer, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's won some two comps premierships and
had Andrew Johns and a few really good players.
Yeah.
But
rolled some over.
Yeah. Been through some coaches, but some positives pushing through, some positives they found within. I don't think there's any massive losses, those names I went through. And there's some good potential in those two young Pommy blokes. And
yeah,
Cogger is a naturally good replacement for Clint.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, your question marks there are more how they fill that other back row spot. I think it's a contest between Paul Pierce and Lucas and then the makeup of their bench.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But other than that, huge turnaround. And that place, when it's rocking, how good is McDonald Jones Stadium to watch?
Yeah.
But I'll give him some credit. I don't remember what I had written down, but I think I had him like 12th or 13th. I didn't see much coming this year. I thought last year was a poor finish, and the talk that he was going to stay at 6, coupled with the concussions and then those few big names we talked about, he weren't playing well. There was obviously just a moment there where everyone come together and thought it benefits everybody. Blokes were playing their futures for their careers, for their rep careers, for their coaching careers. Everyone got on the same page, and look what happened.
Yeah.
So hopefully the takeaway from that when they do their season review is, we barely scratched the surface here. We didn't get this going until the back half of the year. Put a full season together, we're top four.
Yeah, and they had their best players on the field playing well.
And they've got rep quality. It's not like they don't have rep players. Even prior to that little boom, like to have Gagai, I
think realistically, it's just Frizzell, like, it Ponga, is as simple as that.
The Safidis.
Getting Ponga on the field, Best on the field, and having them play at rep level on a consistent basis. It's like you're going to win more games than you lose.
Mm. Well, like we said, rep centres, outside back, wingers, like Dom's moving on. He's that other one. Sorry, I forgot, they're going to have to replace. Heading to the Roosters.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've got rep forwards and a pretty solid bench, and with what's pushing up under, they should be able to fill those spots in and put a full year together, not half a season. You're in the hunt for top four.
Yeah, that's right.
So some real positives to take away from the Newcastle Knights there, and interested to see again how these two go next year. But that wraps up the season review for those two teams. We'll have a quick look here at the odds at the moment with bluebet.com.au. The Panthers, as it stands now, are $1.20. So
yeah, there you go.
The Storm, $4.50. The Lion is 12.5. The Broncos Warriors game, $1.27 and $3.80. 10.5 is the line.
What is it?
10.5.
$1.27.
I'd happily take 10.5 on the Warriors.
$1.27 or $1.37?
$1.27.
Yeah, wow.
So the Storm blew out a little bit. It's come back
in. What's the line in the Penrith game?
12.5.
Yeah. I think that's a bit short.
But yeah, well, I had a look last night, being ridiculous, thinking the Fuse doesn't play and a few guys are beaten up, -29.5. I think I got $6. That's Melbourne getting tapped by 30. The other one, I sort of looked at taking points, but I thought if you're that confident, I'd just back the Warriors to win.
Yeah.
It's tough, but if you stretch it too far to get some points,
yeah,
like 10.5 there at $1.90 is pretty good. I'd probably prefer 12.5.
Yeah, I know, I wasn't thinking about any of that. I was just thinking about the number. I'm always interested in, you know, what the bookies think they're going to win by.
Mm.
So yeah, 10 does surprise me. I would have, yeah, thought 8, 7 maybe.
Yeah, I think
probably 8.5 is what I would have guessed. Yeah. I would have guessed the Penrith line to be 16.5.
So yeah, I'd agree.
Probably under.
I thought that would have been more. Be. But that's for now. We have to wait until we do this on Tuesday and have the lineups and preview those games in depth. But for Penrith, the only player missing last time was Tago.
Yeah.
We know that May was out for the year, but it's another week rest for Sorensen and Kenny and anyone that was carrying any niggles. perfect timing for them.
That's right.
So they're going to come in locked and loaded, bar maybe Tago, and they've shown with multiple players they can cover that spot.
They've had a 13-day turnaround because they played Saturday into a Friday. So
They've used Salmon, Hosking, Garner. They've rolled plenty of players out of that position, so they've got confidence they can do the job there.
The big question will be whether Luai plays.
Yeah, and that's the other
one. I'd probably expect him to.
But I've argued, not argued with people at work, but like he has to play. I'm like, I honestly don't think he has to. I think they're in a really good position again with the moves they've made.
Yeah, I'm not saying he will or he won't. I'm just interested in whether they, you know, how they attack that.
But I think Nathan's running game in the last game was almost not replicating or replacing, but he took more upon himself to make sure there was balance between what him and Cogger did.
Yeah.
And I think they've got more than enough with Cogger in. Cogger's not your run-of-the-mill backup, as we've seen with O'Sullivan and guys have had previously, and even Schneider coming there now. It's almost putting yourself in the shop front window in a quality team to show what you are the last few years for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
But Cogger was the same age, Australian schoolboy, all the raps on him. He came into Newcastle during that rebuild where they had three spoons. And then he got to the Bulldogs when they were at the bottom. He sort of Blake Green it, ended up in England, comes back, and then you see what he can do this year with some decent players around him, like any half. He's certainly a capable half.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not what's relied on with Penrith. It's that forward pack, the back five, the set starts, and they're the two parts that I don't think Melbourne are going to be able to stop. So for them, if Luai's got any chance, I wouldn't risk him this week. I don't think they have to. If they want to risk him in grand final, well, then I'm adamant that Cogger has to be 14. Because if he goes down...
We've spoken about that. But
for this week...
I'm just interested in whether he's going to play on the other stuff that goes around
it. I reckon we'll see him in the 21.
Mm. Well, clearly you're going to see him in the 21.
And then for Melbourne, I'm sure Hughes...
Whether he plays or not
is
going to be interesting, is what I said.
I'm sure Hughes is going to be named. I don't know if Coates will be, given what Bellamy said.
They probably named both of them.
And then for the Warriors, your only big real question mark, a few guys had bumps and bruises, but your big ones are Wade Egan.
Yeah.
And how that was classified after the weekend. So we'll see how that goes down there. But your futures now...
It's not going to be classified as a Category 1.
Well, I
didn't show a Category 1.
Sometimes. I don't think they took him off for a HR. I didn't see the indication.
No, they did. The second one they did.
I thought they took him as an injury. But Penrith now with Bluebet are 205 to win the premiership. Broncos 250. So clear indication there. They think that's the grand final. Warriors and Storm both $10 to win the comp.
Yep. What do you want me to say?
Anything, but it's all good.
I can't talk about the odds, mate.
New South Wales Cup Grand Final is now locked in for this weekend. Bears defeated the Warriors yesterday, who made a late comeback. So that's South Bears.
Yeah,
South and Bears. We're currently watching the Queensland Cup, which halftime is 12-8 to Burley.
That's
a Brisbane Tigers. I think Burley were the minor premiers. They've been a winner multiple times.
Two tries each, but Tyron Roberts has kicked had two of the worst misses you've ever seen.
Mm. So the last few years it's been...
Should be 12-all.
Yeah, last few years it's been dominated by the New South Wales Cup teams. So.
Yeah, watching this, I think it will be again.
Seeing the standard and the difference there. And in the women's, the Raiders had a chance today to lock up that final spot, but were unable to. So the final series begins next week for the Women's Premiership as well. And the team's there off the back of the Titans win. They're already locked in, but they've pushed themselves up ahead of Brisbane. So week one, you've got Newcastle. They finish first in minor premiers. They're going to play the Broncos and the Roosters and Titans, a 2v3. So only a one-week system there. Winners go through the grand final. Plain and simple. So looking at that right there, I think Newcastle, the winners last year, very good chance. They've beaten Brisbane. The Roosters were the favourites in the odds. So that's the grand final I think most people are predicting. Roosters-Newcastle.
Yeah.
But that'd be interesting considering Millie Boyle was at the Knights and moved on, and they've obviously stuck from strength to strength. Roosters, we know, are stacked. Surges, Kelly, all the players they've got in, they're always right up there. But yeah, the NRLW, I think the 10-team comp has been a success in your eyes.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of it.
I watched a little bit. I heard, I think it was John Strange said the other day, he thinks that the progress should stop for now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That the quality as it is now, if they go too quickly, after what he's seen here, yeah, it could become,
detrimental.
A bit detrimental. So
to the quality,
We read it earlier in the year. I'd have to look it up again, but I thought they were adding teams again immediately next year, or maybe it's the year after.
I thought it was the year after.
It was a pretty rapid plan, but... For them, there's been some quality football there, but the way it looks right now...
I don't know why John Strange would be complaining. They've got the most stacked side in the comp.
I don't think he's complaining. I think he's just saying maybe what was asked, you know, about the competition or the standard of the competition, that it's really, really good, but maybe if it goes further, the bottom end might be, you know, a bit further off if you spread the talent too thin too quickly.
Yeah, but that's my point. Like, they've got a stacked side.
Yeah, Roosters. Well, I don't think the Roosters are ever going to struggle.
No.
I think he's just generally commenting, that's all.
Yeah.
But there you go. We'll find out who the State Cup winner is after next week.
Well, until it's built up and there's development pathways, it's always going to be the teams that got the most cash that are going to be the winners.
Yeah, obviously, because you've got jobs and other things linked to their clubs and more opportunity. That's why.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously the goal in the end is to get the same NRLW clubs as what you've got in the NRL.
Yeah.
And have comps that run linear, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, they've got the Harvey Normans, which sort of does that, but yeah, their schedule isn't the same as the men. You know, like,
no.
I think at a certain point in time, they're going to want parity. They're going to want it to be almost the same as the men's, sure, I would imagine.
At the moment, they've got the premierships in both Queensland and New South Wales, which is almost like New South Wales, Queensland.
And they do
Cup,
City Country, they do Origin. Separate. And then they do the W.
Yeah, and the W comes at the back end. So it's like a three.
But obviously,
piece.
The longer that the W goes, the further that pushes back.
Yeah, all
that stuff
things
that happens initially.
Either,
I think hopefully there will come a point in time, yeah, where like your Harvey Norman becomes your second tier.
That's exactly it. That'll become New South Wales Cup, basically.
They say now it is the second tier, but
yeah,
all the players
drop back in.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, because the way the year split until they get to that point and they put it under it. But yeah, that's not going to happen overnight. Yeah. It's probably the point he's making, that they need to bring it along at the right pace.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
Not rush things, because I haven't watched the AFLW thing, but a lot of people complained about that, saying that the standard went way off and there was some absolute bloodbath because they pushed too many teams in too fast.
Yeah.
So they're looking to obviously avoid that side of things. But Jersey Fleet, Bulldogs won through. The Roosters had a comeback yesterday over Parramatta, who come from fifth to make that game. So Dogs, Roosters in the Fleet. I didn't see the second half today, but I'm easily going to assume that Townsville won their third 21s premiership in a row in Queensland. It was 22-0 at halftime. So for the Cowboys, you got some real positives there again. We've seen those blokes funnel through the last few years. There's looks like there's more on the way. So a real positive for them. And yeah, that State Cup final, we'll know after watching this game and then seeing what happens next week between the Bears and Souths. You saw both teams during the year. Who do you like?
Souths.
Souths obviously were a team that was basically not even really...
Just pending also who the Roosters can drop back into Norse.
Mm. They weren't really spoken about at all, though, Souths.
Pauga can come back and play for Norse next week. Souths, yeah, I think they might have had one or two, but not too many. Talas Duncan and might have been Shaq Mitchell.
They weren't spoken about at all during the year and the way they played.
Well, I certainly took notice of
them. I know that, that's what I'm saying, for you being in there.
Yeah, I took big notice of them. Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you had to pick one...
South.
I think South.
I pick South, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
They won. They played last week, so...
Mm.
Yeah. But the Roosters... Norse will obviously... Well, they won't be happy with the Roosters losing, but it may allow them to snavel a couple back and may improve their team. But yeah, I think it'll be competitive. It'll be a close game.
Yep.
Which will be good.
Well, there you go. That wraps us up. We've reviewed the seasons of the two teams that were eliminated, talked about those two games, little bit of odds and some of the matchups coming up, and we'll be back on Tuesday. We'll have lineups, we'll preview the preliminary finals in depth and talk about any other news or anything that's happening between now and then.
Probably later than that, won't it? We'll do it when we do the NFL pod.
Oh, well, we could do that Wednesday then.
Do it later in the
Tuesday,
week.
Wednesday, whatever. Yeah. Whatever works. It'll say Tuesday at the earliest, Wednesday at the latest.
Yeah.
Either one of those nights you can expect the preview, and we'll also have our NFL podcast. If you haven't got onto that yet, people ask, the iTunes channel is now up. That has to bloody go through an approval process, so that took a bit longer than usual. But the Fourth and Inches NFL podcast, there's the Facebook page, there's going to be other social media. If you're a fan of the NFL, I put it in a discussion group, normal groups. Share it, pass it on to the other mates or anyone who hasn't seen it yet. I'll just keep posting up, and hopefully that'll nice grow across the year. We'll give it a year like we spoke about before, see what the numbers are like, and if there's enough interest, and if so, we'll keep doing it, just like we have the fifth and last.
Yep, sounds good.
That wraps us up for now. Hopefully everyone had a great weekend. We'll be back during the week. But for now, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Bring it on. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it?
Hmm.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.